I want to come down here this morning because rather than preach at you, I want to just talk to you, okay? Our hope. Remember, there are four great taproots at Grace Brethren. Four things that for 40 years we have tried to be consistently faithful. One is the book. We're talking about the Bible. Without apology, it's God's Word. Unique book, filled with truth, sufficient to make us thoroughly equipped unto every good work to be mature men and women of God. The blood, most precious commodity in the world, is the blood of Jesus Christ. It is the one means by which I may be forgiven of all of my sins, have God's righteousness given to me, be assured of life eternal, a home in heaven with Him, without any good work on my part. It's the blood that brings peace between God and me. It's the blood. The body. What is the church? The church of the living God. It's the body of Jesus Christ. And last week, as we looked at that, we saw in the last chapter, or the next to the last chapter in the book of Ephesians, as Paul talks about the magnificent view of the purpose of the body, that we are the bride of Jesus Christ. And he tells us in that passage that Jesus Christ is taking the word and cleansing and building and teaching us so that we will become perfect and righteous, so that he will one day present us, the bride, men and women, for 2,000 years since Pentecost, who have placed their faith and trust in Jesus Christ and been born again. That vast host of people, he will present that host of people to himself, a spotless bride, without reproach, without blemish. Oh, that's going to be a glorious day. And that's what we're talking about this morning. The day when God the Son finishes his work of preparing his bride and takes that bride to his side. There are three pictures on my wall right beside my bed. They were taken in private. It's a very personal moment for me, an intimate moment, one that I would not want to make public. But let me tell you what those three pictures describe. When my daughter was about to become the wife of her beloved, Mark, my dear, dear son. And it would soon be my privilege to stand here before all of those present, seen and unseen, and present my daughter, my gorgeous daughter, to this young man. My daughter prepared in private, and then asked that I would come see her. Those three pictures capture my first moment when I saw her. Absolutely gorgeous. The second picture captures my response. And the third, our embrace. There have been few moments in my life when I've been as proud as I was that afternoon when I stood here and said, yes, with her mother, we present to you, Mark, our daughter. Someday, when Jesus Christ receives his bride, I'll have that same experience again. I'll have the delight of standing and seeing you, that part of the body that I've been privileged to know and teach and love, seeing you in all your radiant, transplendent glory, beauty, and perfection, see you taken into a unique and special relationship with God the Son. And it will be a proud and happy moment for me. That's a part of my hope. It's a part of your hope. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 5, and 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, there are at least five major things that pertain to you and to me about hope, our glorious hope. The first one is, death no longer bothers me. David said it back in the 23rd Psalm. He said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. I could drop dead at this moment, and for me, it would be glorious. The Apostle Paul later wrote to the Philippian church, and he said, to depart and to be with Christ is so incomprehensibly, magnificently better than to stay here in this old world that I don't have words to describe. That's a Custer paraphrase. But the more you know about the language he used, the more you realize how infinitely short my paraphrase is to the truth, Paul's saying, Philippians chapter 1. You see, my friend, we are surrounded by people who have no hope. For them, death is the end. That's it, period, zero. As a matter of fact, for them, death is an incredibly horrible experience. I was amazed to read recently about the death of one of the world's most famous atheists who persecuted people like you and me and butchered them like hogs and gloated in the process. But in March 1953, a gasping Joseph Stalin lay on his deathbed in unbearable pain after a severe stroke that had left his right side paralyzed. His final hours were a slow strangulation. His daughter, Svetlana, later reported that he choked to death as they watched. In those final hellish moments, Stalin appeared to be fighting not only death, but the God he denied. Though apparently semi-conscious at best, he suddenly opened his eyes and cast a quick, terrified glance upon everyone in the room. Then, as his daughter put it, quote, something incomprehensible and awesome happened that to this day I can't forget and don't understand, end of quote. The Soviet leader suddenly lifted himself halfway up in bed, clenched his fist toward the heavens, shook it as if in defiance, as if at the God he had forsaken, and with one unintelligible murmur, dropped motionless onto his pillow. Dead. That's the way you're going to go out, friend, if you don't have hope in Jesus Christ. Your portfolio isn't going to help you a bit. Your house isn't going to matter. That fancy car you drove in today, God's not impressed. That's how you're going out if you have no hope. And what awaited Stalin the moment his head hit the pillow is infinitely more horrible than words can describe. He, like the rich man of the story Jesus told, lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and cried out for help. Something as simple as a drop of water to quench his tongue, for he was tormented in that flame. And the most awful part about it is, Stalin is still there. And he hasn't even started his eternity yet. He hasn't even stood before the great white throne yet. He hasn't even received the full measure of horror and judgment from God he earned by his devastating denial of God and his hatred of truth. That's all still ahead. And 100 billion trillion years from today, he will still be there. And he will still be just beginning his horror. That's what awaits you if you have no hope. Ah, but how about those who have hope? How about you and me who know that Jesus Christ died and rose from the grave, we placed our faith and hope in Him. What does God say for us? He says, to be absent the body is to be present with the Lord. Bing! By the time my head hits the pillow, or before my head would hit the floor if I went out right now in a stroke, before I hit the floor, you should be singing hallelujah because I'm home with the Lord. I'm seeing where Jesus lives. I'm experiencing His presence and peace. And it can't do anything but get better forever and ever and ever and ever. First thing, my blessed hope is that death is now my ally, not my foe. Death is not my hated adversary. Death is the usher God will send to release me from this body of humiliation so that my spirit and soul may be immediately present with the Lord. That's my hope. Second, this passage tells me that my hope also includes a magnificent resurrection. You see that? The dead in Christ will be raised first. That's talking about the bodies. This body of mine is going to be brought out of the grave in resurrection power, a perfected body. A body like the Lord Jesus Christ, resurrection body. A body that no longer has the limitations of sin and this earth and this physical constitution. A body that will be glorious and magnificent. That's part of my hope, part of your hope. It's a part of His promise. Thirdly, I'm told in this passage that there's going to be a great party, that God's planning one huge homecoming party. Now, when God throws a party, He knows how to do it. And I got an invitation. I'm going to be there. And it's not just that Jesus is going to be there, but the passage says that we are going to rise together, 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 together. That means that you'll see your loved ones that you thought were lost and gone forever if they knew Jesus as Lord and Savior. That means you're going to meet Peter, James, Paul, Moses, all those great people. You'll have an opportunity to meet Esther and Ruth and Mary, whose womb became the place of God's incarnation. You'll have a chance to talk to Joseph and Daniel and Jeremiah. You'll meet Adam, meet Eve. You'll get to talk to Noah. That's not pie in the sky, folks. That's the substance of my blessed hope. I'm part of a great redeemed community that God has brought out of the nations of the world over all of human history, from Adam to this moment. And I will be together with them, and I will know them, and they will know me, and we will fellowship with each other in unbroken, eternal, joyous reunion. That's not all. This passage also says that in a moment that God has not revealed to us, Jesus is going to snatch up a group of people living on the earth. These are people that Paul describes as those that are alive and remain. It's interesting. The word there to remain is the same idea of a rather famous series of recent books called Left Behind. Only the topic of that Left Behind is just the opposite of this phrase. This phrase means left behind in that I'm still here in this life. I have not yet passed into the presence of God yet. I'm one of those still living in the flesh, a believer. Now, Paul said the same thing again in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. He said, behold, I show you a mystery. He said, we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the last trump. All of us yesterday thought about the horror of the unexpected attack on the World Trade Center. Our world changed in that moment. Now, listen to me carefully. And while we properly grieve that event and sorrow with the 3,000 who were taken, That event cannot begin to compare with what's going to shake this world when the rapture occurs. Every born-again believer is going to disappear in the twinkling of an eye. Now, it's sad to think that in churches today, people who are pastoring will ridicule that. They really will. They'll try to heap shame upon me and you for boasting about our glorious hope. They will call us cowards, escapists, and all kinds of other ugly words. They will imply that we somehow are not sensitive to the present needs of folks with AIDS and poverty and sickness and all of that. Somehow we're not sensitive to those present needs because we are caught up in this magnificent, glorious expectation that at any moment, any second, our earthly lives will be quickly and instantly changed. And you know what? They're wrong. Most of them are not nearly as interested in those with AIDS and those in poverty when it comes to using their own time and money. They want to use mine. You notice that? Yeah. Yeah, I'm so concerned about the people in the world that have needs that I want to take your money, take your time, don't touch my trusts. But that's their problem. Your problem, my friend, is in that split second, earth history will be radically transformed. Radically. The passage goes on to tell us that there will be those who would ridicule our expected hope. And they are all about peace and security. They are consumed with romantic ideas, utopian ideas of bringing peace to this world and safety to every individual in it through human manipulation and goodwill. They are very naive. And they're surprised to learn that there are other religious beliefs which actually promote suicide. Now listen to me. The Apostle Paul reminded those Thessalonians, and he's reminding you and me, that you and I will not be here on the earth when that period of wrath called the day of the Lord begins. You and I will not be here when that apostasy takes place that causes truth to look like error, and when those who would sound the trumpet of truth are no longer available to sound it. When the restrainer will have been taken off and sin's ugly selfishness will be granted full and unbridled expression. When all the world will become a concentration camp and the one who heads it up will be a madman who makes Stalin, Hitler, and Lenin seem like Sunday school teachers. A man who will insist that you will worship him and go his way only on penalty of death. There's a terrible time of wrath coming. And Paul wants the Christians to know and wants you and me to know that by the grace of God, he has timed that event to take us out before that great wrath of God is unleashed against the world. That's my hope. One more thing. So shall we ever be with the Lord. I've got an inheritance in heaven right now. I have a place to live up there. I have a magnificent, magnificent inheritance. I'm the wealthiest person you're listening to right now. As a matter of fact, I wouldn't exchange my inheritance in heaven for the combined wealth of this whole world. It's not worth it. I am infinitely wealthy. I'm going to rule and reign with Jesus Christ. I'm going to dwell in a new Jerusalem. I'm going to have a front row seat to watch as God Himself burns up this present earth and all of its elements, destroys it and the works of evil in it, finally, permanently. And as God speaks into existence a new heaven and a new earth, wherein dwells righteousness. That's my blessed hope. Do you own that hope this morning? Paul says, since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, we believe also that those who sleep in Christ, God will bring with Him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord. Here's some insider information. The world's going to hell, and you're not going to stop it. Church isn't going to redeem it. God's going to judge it. And you have a choice. You can either stay and take your chances on the experience of that great day of judgment and wrath, the day of the Lord, or you can believe that Jesus is God who at the cross of Calvary died in your place for your sins, was buried, rose again, is alive today, and you can open your heart and receive Him into your life as your personal Lord and Savior. And if you do, then when the Lord Himself descends from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel, the trump of God, then when the dead in Christ rise first, then you will be among those who will be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Earth is temporary, heaven is eternal. Make a choice. And God offers no plan B. Thank you, Father in heaven, for the glorious hope that is ours through Jesus Christ. We can know for sure that we are saved, we are born again, that we have been forgiven by you. We can know that without any question or doubt. We can point to that time, and I can point to that time in my life, that day and hour when I said yes to Jesus and no to Jim. When I opened my heart and by my own choice made Jesus Christ my Lord and my Savior. And through that this morning, I have this magnificent hope. This world is no longer my home. I'm a citizen of heaven. And I look forward at any moment to be interrupted either by death that I did not expect, but for which I'm well prepared, or by the rapture, that exquisite moment in history when you're going to do something so unique that it's never had precedent in the past and will never be repeated again. When you're going to suddenly snatch from the earth all those who are yours and leave behind those who received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. My friend, in which group are you? Now don't say I don't know, because you do know. You absolutely know. Don't say I don't understand, because I've already told you this morning there's nothing else to say. You this morning are either a child of light through faith in Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ lives in your heart, and this is your hope we've been talking about this morning, or you are a child of darkness. You're still trapped in your sin. You're still wedded to this old world. You are still, to use the words of Jesus, a child of the devil. That's what he said. Can't be both. You saw a 16-year-old young man in the waters of baptism say clearly, I'm committed to Jesus Christ. We know, based upon that commitment, that he has this hope. Do you? Do you? You may rest assured
my friend, that you have nothing for sure as far as this life is concerned, nothing you can count on in this life beyond this moment. And what you are in this moment determines where you will be the next moment. Please, 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 if you've never invited Jesus Christ into your heart, never confessed faith in his death for you at the cross and his resurrection, please do that this morning. You can die like Paul, or you can die like Stalin. There is no third option. Now, Father, thank you for this glorious hope. In Jesus' name we praise you. Amen.